Good afternoon, men. You ever been lost? I asked my wife that question, or asked my kids that question, and said, you know, have you guys ever felt lost? And my kids responded, started telling stories about some time where they'd been lost in the mall or something had happened and we wandered away. And then my wife, looks at me with this dumbfounded look of amazement. She goes, "Were you driving?" Yeah, we all have experienced that sense of lostness, but I think there's probably, it goes a little bit deeper than that. And that is that as you think about, have you been in a situation where you sensed that your kids were lost? You know, where you're in the mall or something, and maybe somebody in a crowd this size, someone may have gone through the horror of really having had a child abducted or something like that. I can imagine in a group this size, having someone who had your child for a period of time. And I just remember a couple instances in our situation where we were in the mall and one of our daughters had wandered away. And I remember that feeling that just instantly begins where you have this sick feeling in the pit of your stomach. You think you could lose it, whatever's there. And this weight that comes upon your chest of, where are they? Well, Jesus tells three stories in Luke chapter 15 that really helps us understand the heart of the Father and how He feels about lostness. And that's what our subject is today. So in the there's a sheet in the center of the table, and I'd invite you to look at it. Jesus begins this passage, and He's talking to two different groups, tax collectors and sinners and Pharisees. Now, there are two groups, and we've talked a lot about that in our encounters with Jesus, how these two different extremes, tax collectors and sinners, they didn't have any doubt as to who they were. They understood it. They knew that they were the social outcasts of their day, and they knew that nobody really loved them very much. So they didn't. There was no delusions of grandeur as it related to them. But the Pharisees, they were the religious elite. They were the financially well-off. They were those who were working the system to their own advantage. And so it's to these two extremes that Jesus addresses these three stories about lostness. The first one is a story about a shepherd who loses a sheep and goes out and pursues that sheep until he brings it home. And there's great rejoicing. The second is a story of a lost coin. It tells of a woman who turns the house upside down to find that coin that she has lost. And then the third story is this one of the prodigal son. All of us have probably heard that term, but I think it bears repeating for us to look at the whole thing again. So we pick up in the middle of the page at verse 11. Jesus also told them another story. Once a man had two sons. The younger son said to his father, "Give me my share of the property." So the father divided his property between his two sons. Let me stop right there and just make an understanding that in terms of the division of property for two sons, that younger son, his right to his inheritance would have been one-third, and his brother's would have been two-thirds, his older brother. So the young son saying, "Father, I want the one-third of the inheritance that's coming to me." Then we go on. Verse 13, not long after that, the younger son packed up everything he owned and left for a foreign country where he wasted all his money in wild living. He had spent everything when a bad famine spread through the whole land. Soon he had nothing to eat. He went to work for a man in that country, and the man sent him out to take care of his pigs. He would have been glad to eat what the pigs were eating, but no one gave him a thing. Finally, he came to his senses and said, "My father's workers have plenty to eat, and here I am starving to death. I will go to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against God in heaven and against you. I am no longer good enough to be called your son. Treat me like one of your workers.' The younger son got up and started back to his father, but when he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt sorry for him. He ran to his son and hugged and kissed him. The son said, 'Father, I have sinned against God in heaven and against you. I am no longer good enough to be called your son.' But his father said to the servants, 'Hurry and bring the best clothes and put them on him. Give him a ring on his finger and sandals for his feet. Get the best calf and prepare it so we can eat and celebrate. This son of mine was dead but has now come back to life. He was lost and has now been found.' And they began to celebrate. The older son had been out in the field, but when he came near the house, he heard the music and dancing. So he called one of the servants over and asked, 'What's going on here?' The servant asked your brother, the servant answered, your brother has come home safe and sound, and your father ordered us to kill the best calf. The older brother got so angry that he would not even go into the house. His father came out and begged him to go in. But he said to his father, for years I have worked for you like a slave and have always obeyed you, but you have never even given me a little goat so that I might give a dinner for my friends. This other son of yours wasted your money on prostitutes, and now that he has come home, you ordered the best calf to be killed for a feast. His father replied, my son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we should be glad and celebrate. Your brother was dead, but he is now alive. He was lost and has now been found. I just want to give us some observations from this passage, and that's why I included it for you today. And just some things that I think that help us to understand really what Jesus is seeking for us to understand. I believe what Christ is communicating to us is what his dad's like. And when you and I think about, even in our own frailty and failures as a fathers, those of us that are fathers, and which is probably most of us, I think it's hard for us to grasp a dad who's responding to his kids in this way. But I want us to first of all notice that what you learn first about how this father responded to this younger son was with grace. Now, grace is something that a term that most of us really probably don't grasp, but let's put the context of what this son was doing. First of all, this young son, he was obviously sick of his dad's way of doing things. And he was ready to be out from under his dad's restraint. He had a question really about his dad's management of things in terms of maybe that somehow his part wouldn't be there at the end. And he was really convinced that he was proud of his own abilities and ability to accomplish with his inheritance. Anybody ever had a teenager? Sounds really eerily familiar. How about to you as you look back in your own growing up years and look in relationship to your own father? You see, it doesn't take much to really begin to realize how lost we can be in our own lives. And we think we know better and we try to sum up things and we have a clear analysis at the age of 16 that somehow as we age either gets knocked out of us or we just hold on to it and unfortunately just continues to be knocked against us. What this young man did, though, was nothing short of just simply walking away from everything that the father is. But I want us to focus on the father. I want you to note, first of all, that the way from home was paved with the father's riches. The way from home was paved with the father's riches. When the son came and said, Father, give me what you owe me. What did the father do? He gave it. Now you and I as fathers would say, God, is that really the best decision? To give your son with the very things that are going to be the cause of his own demise? Don't you think that that father knew what was going to happen? How many of you have given your child some money knowing what the end of that money was going to be? Asking for some return knowing that it was never coming back. But here Jesus tells of his own father and how he's treated by his own creation. And he says, listen, I'm going to give it to you all. Let's personalize it for us, guys. What did you and I have as sons of the Father that we have not received? Life? Breath? The power of opportunity? Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, said, it is the Lord who gives the power to great wealth. You see, none of us here today, not a one of us, have anything that we haven't received ultimately from our Father. And the way that has been paved for you and I to make decisions about our lives from the very outset, to make decisions about our attitudes and our responses, to make decisions about all of these things. God has, in His wisdom, allowed us freedom of choice. knowing how we would respond. You see, the way for our lives has already been paved by the riches of God's grace. And the Father will let us live on His riches. But you and I learned as we walked away, haven't we? I hope we have. You're here today probably because you're learning that when you walk away, that the Father's riches are consumed by the guilt and the weight of your own willfulness. Have you noticed how the choices that you and I have made over years, and you can go down and catalog them in your mind, even right now while I say them to you, the Holy Spirit of God calls to your mind some things that, man, I said, I wish I wouldn't have done this, and I wish I wouldn't have done that, and why didn't I listen here, and why didn't I make this decision instead of that decision? The litany of the weight and the guilt of our own sin bears down upon us until we say, God, why didn't you just stop me? We want God to do for us what we would have never wanted Him to do when we said, God, give me what's coming to me. And the amazing thing about the Father is He let us. His love and His grace is so grand is that He lets us come to the end of ourselves, just like this boy did. And isn't that the amazing thing? Is not only the way from home is paved with the Father's riches, but the way back home is paved with the Father's sacrifices. It's still grace. It's God the Father. Jesus is saying, "He's listen, you created ones, you publicans and sinners and you Pharisees, I'm here to tell you that, and introduce you to the Father of grace who's let you choose. And some of you have chosen to waste the substance in riotous living." And that's this first group of this story. But when we read through there, what we really lost are the things that we really needed. Because notice, when you come back to that, the Father comes back and He says, after the Son comes, He says, Father, I've sinned and all of that. What's He go through? First off, He thinks, man, when I was in my Father's house, at least the servants have a purpose. They're there to serve the Father. There's one intent, purpose for every servant. He's saying, Lord, Father, what do you want me to do? You see, the Son, when He walked away from that, He missed the opportunity to have the real purpose of His life. You see, ultimately, God the Father has only one purpose for every man in this room. Just one purpose. Serve the Father. To know what's on the Father's heart for your individual life and just do it. But then He also, because He missed the Father's purpose when He was out and He wandered away, He missed the Father's food. What made Him remember that all the servants were having all their needs met was He was down in the pig pen, which for every Jewish boy was not a very exciting place to be. He was down there in the pig pen wishing that He could eat the pig slop. And He said, my fathers, you've got food enough and to spare. But then I want you to notice the heart of the Father. Look down to verse 18. Verse 20. The younger son got up, started back to his father when he was still a long way off. What's amazing is that term, that long way off, means he was away, away. As if the father was standing at the gate, at the door of his tent, just looking, waiting every day. Can you imagine how many days the father had gone to that tent and said, I wonder if this will be the day my son comes home. I wonder if this will be the day. And one day he went to the door of that tent and saw it wide open, and he saw a faint figure of his son who was bent over and burdened, who was broken by where he had been. And he did what no Jewish man would ever do, and that is run. For Jewish men were known for their respectableness and to stand up straight, but not that day. For when he saw his son coming from a distance, broken and beaten down by the cares of life, he alighted from his door and ran for all he's worth. And in the midst of that, he threw his arms around his son who had been lost. And the son began to go into all of the litany of things, and the father just said, no, let me hug you. And he embraced him. And he kissed him. all. Now come, son. Now let me give you my best robe. The robe was that sense of, hey, it's okay. And then let me give you also this ring, which is one of authority, and let me give you some sandals. You see, no servants had sandals, but the sons did. And sandals were an indication of the fact that you were free. The Father, in the midst of His grace, had welcomed home the Son. I think there's a few of us who have been there. We've sensed the great lostness in our own selves, or you may have a child who's away and you're looking out the door of your house every day hoping that your child's going to come back. We grieve over such lostness. But you know, this young boy was not the only lost boy in this passage. I think the good case could be made for the other lost one was the son who wouldn't come in. That son who was standing outside and he came and heard of the grace that God had poured upon and the redemption that God was pouring out now that upon this son. And the son, that brother, said, I don't like this party. It's for this wicked, rotten brother of mine. In fact, he wouldn't even call him his brother. And he said, it's too extravagant. And then he was proud and emphasized his own goodness because he hadn't sinned. Did you notice that? He hadn't sinned at all. And he was disappointed with his father's judgment. How could you do this? You didn't give me a kid to make merry with my friends, a calf. And as a result of that, he wasn't going to participate with the father. But the amazing thing about the grace of the father is, you know what? The father didn't send a servant out to tell, hey, go tell your brother to get over it and get in here. The same father who was looking for the son who was lost and broken down went out to the brother who thought he was better. And he entreated him. And he said, come on in. Come on in. Yeah, you've done a good job. You've been here for me. But can't you rejoice the fact that your brother who was lost is found? And listen, let me remind you. Everything that I have is coming to you. Couldn't we just offer a calf for him? Because that which was lost is now found. Listen, guys, every one of us are one of these two extremes and somewhere in between. And the story of the Father here is all about grace. Grace, which is the unmerited favor of God the Father, who's poured out through His Son, Jesus Christ. So much so that Jesus was telling there in the flesh this story to these two extreme groups of people, modeling the very thing that He was telling them. The Father sent His very best that you might know what it means to get over your lostness. Whether you're lost because your life has been full of really poor choices, or whether you're lost because you're so enamored with your own goodness that you can't see the Father. Both extremes keep you from receiving the grace of God. And the only way to be redeemed, the only way to be bought back, is to come to the Father like the younger son said and said, God, what did he say? Lord, I'm no longer worthy to be your son. Father, verse 21, I've sinned against God in heaven and against you. I'm no longer good enough to be called your son. You see, it's when we get to the end of ourselves, it's where God begins. And that's, man, why we're here today. I don't know about you, but I'm consistently coming to the end of myself. And if I'm not, then I'm missing something. Because either I'm too focused on my own personal goodness, or I'm too knocked down by my own regular failure. But I believe I'm talking to a group of men who know they need God's grace. And they want to receive His redemption. Listen, guys, if you've never entered into a faith relationship with Jesus Christ by receiving His grace like this son did, I challenge you. Recognize that there's nothing you can do to earn it. There's nothing you can do to make God love you anymore. All He wants you to do is come to the end of yourself. And if you'll do that, God will begin. May God bless us as we pursue the love of the Father. Our Father, we thank You. We thank You, Jesus Christ showed us and told us about the love of the Father. Oh God, use each man's story today to encourage one another. And I pray for anyone, any of us here today who may be battling with either extreme, that we'd receive Your grace and bask in Your redemption. Lord, You paid the price for us. We just need to rest in who You are. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.